Oh, thank you to the ushers. They don't get enough thanks, do they? But we got the altar table. Enough. We got the altar table a little busy today, and we didn't even leave them room to bring the trays back. So thanks. Thanks for your flexibility, and thanks for serving and everything. There are so many people that serve to make what happens in this service happen. And I just show up. Today I showed up late. It was all set and ready. And so thanks. Thanks for everybody for serving and for allowing us this place to come together. Well, 2 weeks ago, we began our sermon series in the midst of this book that some have been reading and entitled Five Marks of a Methodist. It's just guiding us to look back into the early years of Methodism in the mid-1700s to that foundation that John Wesley was laying for followers of Jesus for that day, which is still relevant and vital for us today as we live as followers of Jesus in a way that we call Methodism. Who are we? What should it look like? What should our lives look like? What are key components that need to be a part of our everyday living? Marks, he calls them. We began with the first one. A Methodist loves God. We see in Scripture that after Jesus resurrected, but before he ascended, he had this conversation with Peter, and in it he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" But Jesus didn't ask him one time and leave it at that. He asked Peter three times in their dialogue together, "Do you love me?" This was important. Jesus was making a point. We are prone to wander. We're prone to wander, so we must be brought back to that foundation of love, this relationship of love with God. Are we fully living out love, and fully living out that relationship of love with God, continually accepting and receiving the love that God has for us, that he has to give us, you see, because he first loved us, because he's poured his love into us, we love. We live faithful to that great commandment given by Jesus to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Because of that relationship with God, then Wesley's second mark is that a Methodist rejoices in God. That was a tough mark to look at last week after last weekend and the tragedy that had happened in Charlottesville. How do you rejoice in the midst of that? I was talking with someone this past week that serves as a chaplain in a hospital, and specifically in palliative care, which is people that are in their last days or people are receiving really heartbreaking diagnosis. How does she lead others to rejoice in the midst of that? We can hear from Nehemiah, though, these words that he gave to a group of people who have been weeping. "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." A relationship with God, it allows us, no matter what the circumstances, to rejoice and to receive the strength and the joy that comes from the Lord. The mark of joy guides us right into that third mark that we focus on today. A Methodist gives thanks. Paul ties these two marks together perfectly in a text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we find it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." There are these things that Wesley calls marks that Paul says we're to do 24/7. Because it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So many times I hear people wondering and asking, what is God's will? What is his will for me in my life? Well, here it is. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. If you're doing that, then you're living into the will that God has for you in Christ Jesus. So we focused on rejoicing last week, and we focus on prayer next week. And I want to tell you that the bishop has specifically asked to preach next week. He heard about what we were preaching on. Preach next week in this service. So the bishop's going to preach on prayer next week. So come ready. All of you, come. Come ready. I've read some of his books on prayer, and he's going to guide you in a wonderful service of how to live out a life of prayer faithfully. So today, though, we're going to focus on that third part in that text, the give thanks. We do it once a year, right? We get together with friends and family. We go around the table and we say what we're thankful for. The scripture, though, is calling us to give thanks more often than that in all circumstances. So all the time. Giving thanks is a way of living and being. It is a part of who we are. It's our character. It's a distinguishing mark. Even the way maybe someone would describe us. These are the phrases that someone should use to describe us. Giving thanks isn't to be a momentary response when life is going in the direction that we want it to, or when we get that gift that we had asked for. Only if the test results come back that the lump isn't cancer. If our child behaves in the way we ask, and if our parents give us what we want. Instead, it's this lifelong, all the time, in all places, in all circumstances. Now, why would Paul think so much about giving thanks that he put it in the scripture the way he did? Why would Wesley put it in one of the five marks? I was drawn back to our previous sermon series on the book of Romans, where we find these words in the first chapter. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because they did not thank God, their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's the alternative. So being thankful is about our heart. It keeps our heart from becoming foolish and dark. Being thankful keeps our hearts not on the world, not on circumstances, not on our desires. It keeps our hearts on God, focused on God, in love with God. Giving thanks may seem like this trivial thing to do, but instead it's vital and necessary. I would even go as far as to say it's life-giving. If it has to do with our heart, then it's life-giving. Now, John Wesley did not always practice this art and this act of giving thanks. He learned it one day from an encounter that he had with a porter while he was at Oxford when he was a student there. And Wesley encountered this man late one cold night, and some of you know it gets cold in England. And because the porter only had on this thin jacket, Wesley encouraged him to go home in order to get a coat, a much thicker coat. And the porter said to him, "I thank God for this one coat I possess." And then he went on. He said, "And I thank God for water, my only drink during the day." Well, intrigued by these statements, Wesley queried, "Well, what else is there for you for which you are thankful?" "I will thank him that I have dry stones to lie upon." Wesley said, "Please continue." "And I thank him that he has given me my life and being, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him." As Wesley returned to his room that night, he realized he was a stranger to such thoughts, to a faith like that. Wesley experienced a depth of spirituality through that porter that night, who gave such a testimony to him, thankfulness right in the midst of his poverty. And it was something that Wesley found that he himself did not possess. Wesley learned that day what it meant to be thankful in all circumstances, and experienced a life, a way of living and being that he wanted to live himself. The lesson for Wesley and for us is that thanksgiving does not come from external events, from possessions. It comes from God. Thanksgiving is totally and 100% based on God and the nature of God. It's based on who God is, on His presence, on His providence, on His grace, on His love. For Scripture says God is love. It's knowing and believing these words in Jeremiah 29:11 that say, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." It's declaring in faith the words from Romans 8:28 that we finished with a couple weeks ago. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. It is not placing a faith and trust and dependence on circumstances. Instead, it's placing trust and faith and dependence on God. On God, so that you can give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. That is the way of life Wesley came to know and to live. He became a devout man of very lengthy, intentional prayer times. In the midst of this prayer schedule, he set aside Saturday as his day of intentional time to give thanks. He would look back on the week before to note God's providence, to express gratitude to God. And it was doing this so that he could see how he had lived in the midst of God's grace. He had specific questions, very specific questions he asked himself on this day that moved him from noting not only the general areas in life, but the very specific areas that he was thankful for. Thankful for how God had been at work in all circumstances. Where might this practical, intentional act and way of living, this practice, a reflection and thanksgiving, fit into your life? What are some questions? Some questions to have upon our hearts all the time, in all circumstances, so that we can live as thankful people. The greatest model for giving thanks in all circumstances comes from Jesus. You see, the night before he was killed, and he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew what was coming. So it wasn't some wonderful, just great things going on in his life. For the day had come. And the night before, he was eating supper with his disciples, and he took the bread. And do you remember what he did? It says he gave thanks. Took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And then he took the cup. And again, what does Scripture tell us he did? He blessed it. And he gave thanks. He gave thanks in all circumstances. He gave thanks and said, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Can we be thankful in all circumstances? Yes. Not because of the circumstances, but because of God and who He is. For you see, God, He is love. He is love. Let us pray together. Loving God, I thank you Thank you for who you are. I thank you for each and every person in this room. I thank you for those watching live stream. I thank you for how you're working in the midst of all of our lives. We all got different circumstances going on. I'm certain of that. And I'm thankful that you are right in the midst of everyone, walking alongside them, providing for them, giving to them what you know they need. And I thank you that you knew our need for salvation, our need for forgiveness, our need for Jesus. I thank you that he was willing to give his life for me. For those that are sitting in this room, for the world. For you came. Love came. And so we are thankful. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit. We pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to be poured down upon us, upon these gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we may then be for the world the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's a heart thing. And if our heart knows that he's paid our ransom, then we should be thankful. Thankful. Thankful in all circumstances, for that is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So go from this place as thankful people. Go from this place and share that love of Jesus with one another, with your neighbor, with the stranger, with the world. Go in his grace, his peace, his love. Amen.